بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll continue the second passage of Surah Al-Fajr, and we ended off with qawlihi ta'ala, hal fi thalika qasamun lithi hijr. So the first passage of Surah Al-Fajr was basically oaths from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that actually alluded in every single way to the Day of Judgment. So by him saying Wal-Fajr, that was already a sign and an indication to the resurrection. And then when he said وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ, well, we discussed that that was a sign and an indication to the seerah, to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both are minor signs of the Day of Judgment. So what actually proves the resurrection is the coming and the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah azza wa jalla said وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَرِ. And al-shafa' is Allah Azza wa Jal taking an oath by the even, and al-watar is Allah Azza wa Jal taking an oath by the odd. And how does this relate to the Day of Judgment? That every single day of ours is an even day, because every day has a night. So there's day and night, day and night, day and night, and that's all even. And there is only one day that will come that doesn't have a night, that is the Day of Judgment. So that's an odd in itself. So now we have al-fajr is indicating to resurrection. Layalin Ashar is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is a sign of resurrection, of the sign of a Day of Judgment. Then you have Washaf'i Walwatar, that in itself is logically proving to you that there is a Day of Judgment. Then there is Wallayli Idha Yasr, and I forgot to mention how this is connected to all of this topic and the discussion of the Day of Judgment. And that is Allah Azza wa Jal saying وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسِرْ. He took an oath by the night as it travels, as it takes a stroll, by the night as it travels. And that we said and we discussed that it indicates to that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the full power because He's in control of time. He's the one that allows the night to travel and brings the day. But you know, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسِرْ, as the night travels and departs, that is referring to the last third of the night, because that's when it's most visible that the night is gone and the new day has arrived. And we said that after the last third of the night, what comes after it? Fajr. Right? So you have the last third of the night. When that is finished, the dawn time comes, the Fajr time comes. So in other words, we said Al-Fajr indicates to resurrection. So the last third of the night indicates to the world coming to an end. So when the last third of the night finishes, what comes after it? Fajr. Fajr is a sign, is a symbol, is an indication to the resurrection. So this is how it's connected. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ. In other words, He is indicating and He's teaching that the world is coming to an end, and what comes after the night? There comes the Fajr, the dawn time, and that is the resurrection, the Day of Judgment in itself. And then he concluded all those series of oaths by saying, هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. Isn't there in that enough of an oath for people of rock solid intellect? In other words, when you understand these oaths and you understand the deep meaning of these oaths and what they allude to and what they refer to, then this is a praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon such people that they've understood. Therefore He's called them lithi hijr, people of rock solid intellect. They have a mind to think about. And this is why we said Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just bunch up all these oaths in one ayah. He gave each oath an ayah. Wal fajr, one ayah. And you know, the sunnah is that you read an ayah and you stop. You don't connect them all together. And although you can do that, but the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you read an ayah and you stop. You read the second and you stop. And so if we're to follow that sunnah with this surah, then that means you read one fajr and stop. What's the stop for? So you can think about what you just said and what you read. And you know, the Quran is a book that's continuously read. It's not like a book that you pick up from the store, you purchase it, you read it once and you close it and you never read it again until a movie comes out on it. That's not what the Qur'an is. The Qur'an is something that you continuously read. And when you continuously read something, you're forced to think about it. When you continuously read and revise something, you're forced to think about it. In other words, every single time you read Wal Fajr, you're supposed to stop and reflect upon this ayah and what it actually means and what it refers to. And every single day we have a reminder with Fajr, because every day there's a Fajr that we get up to and pray. And so every time you get up, you're actually remembering resurrection. And that this is going to happen one day, but at a huge scale. And that will happen on the Day of Judgment. And we said that there is only one day that powerfully presents and illustrates this resurrection. What Fajr? Of what day? Of Yawm al-Nahr, which is when people sleep on the ground in Muzdalifah and then they wake up the next morning to Fajr. That Fajr in itself is the most powerful prayer, it's the most powerful Fajr that that alludes to the resurrection. Because of course everyone is sleeping on the ground. That resembles Hayat al-Barzakh, that you've died and you're buried. And then you get up, everyone gets up at Fajr time wearing white. In other words, it's the shroud that you are placed in your grave with, and so on. So that Fajr of Yawm al-Nahr is the most powerful Fajr that teaches this lesson of that Fajr indicates to resurrection. Okay, so this finishes the first passage. We get on to the second passage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says after this, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Now in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warned the disbelievers about the Day of Judgment, about the unseen, because that's what the Day of Judgment is. And from the very beginning of that surah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Right, this is the Day of Judgment. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke to us about the faces on the Day of Judgment, and that they'll be thrown in the fire first on their faces. تُسْقَى مِنْ عَيْنٍ آنِيَةٌ. They'll drink from a hot boiling spring. Right? لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. What their food is all thorny and poisonous food, and that's what they'll be eating and drinking in the fire. So from the very beginning of the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He warned the disbelievers about the Day of Judgment. But they weren't afraid. And it didn't move anything in their heart in terms of them repenting and coming back and following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So maybe now, a warning from something they can see might get them afraid and might move their heart a little bit towards Islam, therefore for them to repent. What can they see that might serve as a reminder for them? They can see the ruins of the past nations that they pass by all time. That's something they can see with their eye. That is the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal that manifested on this earth. So if you're not willing to reflect upon these oaths that allude to the Day of Judgment and teach this lesson that the Day of Judgment is adamant and certain and it is coming, if you're not willing to reflect upon these oaths, or you're not willing to take a lesson from these ayat that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about in the previous surah in terms of warning us about the Day of Judgment, then at least reflect upon what happened yesterday, you know, before you, to the nations that didn't obey Allah Azza wa Jal and were arrogant. So Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Reminding Quraysh of the unseen and warning them of the unseen, the punishment of the Day of Judgment didn't benefit them. So now perhaps what will benefit them is for Allah Azza wa Jal to give them an example of His punishment being manifested on this earth by through nations that did not obey Him nor obeyed the commands of the prophets. So Allah Azza wa Jal now says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. And of course these words are words to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But although they're directed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's supposed to read them out, right? That's what Allah describes the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yatlu alaihim ayatihi, that he recites unto the people the ayat, the signs, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although it's being directed and addressed to him, it is still for Quraysh because they'll eventually hear it when he recites it. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Didn't you already see how your Lord dealt with the nation of Ad? Didn't you already see how your Lord dealt with the nation Ad? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ. Didn't you see? Now, in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla also called us and invited us to see something. He said, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not see and look and stare at the camel and how it was created? Now the word tara also means to see. But there's a difference between tara and nazara. Nazara is to stare carefully at something, right? You stare at it and you're very careful at staring at it so you can make things from it or you can reflect upon it. That's nazar. But for the verb tara, it can also mean to look at something, but it's also part of af'al al-qulub, as the linguists say, af'al al-qulub. It's from the verbs of the heart. In other words, it's not a physical action that happens with the eye. It's an action that takes place in the heart and in the mind. Just like imagine I was to say to you or explain something to you. And then I say, do you see what I mean? You'll say, oh yeah, I see what you mean. You didn't see it with your own eyes. It wasn't a physical action. But you saw what I meant through your heart and your mind. So when Allah Azza wa Jal says to His Messenger, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ, in other words, He's saying, didn't you reflect? And didn't you think upon how your Lord dealt with this nation, the nation of Ad? And now Allah Azza wa Jal, something very careful here you need to pay attention to, is that He didn't say, أَلَمْ تَرَ مَاذَا فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. He didn't say, didn't you see what Allah did to Ad? He didn't say, didn't you see what He did to them? Rather, He said, كَيْفَ. Didn't you see how Allah did with them? There's a difference. But before I tell you the difference, you need to know something about Ad. Ad, they were a tribe, a nation, that were known for their might and power and their strength. And they were known also for building tall constructions. Later on it will come in the ayat, أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. We'll come to it when we come to it in the ayat. These people were a very tall creation. And genetically they were strong, right? Even Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً, that He increased you in power over other people. So these people were just, by themselves, they were strong people, genetically strong people, powerful people. And for them, when the Arab would pass by their dwellings, by their ruins, by their destroyed houses, the first question that would come into mind of the Arab wasn't what happened to these people. That wasn't the first question. The first question that would come into their mind would be, how could they have been destroyed? With such might they had and such strength they had, how could they be destroyed? So Allah Azza wa Jal tells His Messenger, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ. Didn't you see how Allah dealt with Ad? Because when you pass by these places, the first question wouldn't be, well, what happened here? You know, what happened? What kind of punishment came down? That wouldn't be the question. The question is going to be, when you see this huge, enormous structure and construction, the first question that will come to your mind is, how did these people get destroyed? Where was their might? Where was their strength to fend off this punishment? Couldn't they hide in their houses or something? What happened to them? Something overtook them. These people were known, no one would go to war with them. So what happened to them? So Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَيْفَ فَعَلْ. How did Allah deal with them? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. And you know, Ad, they were known for a very famous arrogant statement that would say, they would say, they used to say, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Who is stronger than us? You know, who is stronger than us in might, in power? No one. In other words, no one. That's, they would go around boasting about their power, saying, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells the disbelievers, to reflect upon how I dealt with Ad. And this verse, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَاد, it has two things in it. It has an encouragement to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? In other words, Allah is saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that Quraysh is much powerful than Ad? You know, you think they can oppress you? Do you think that Quraysh can oppress you and mock you and get away with it? Allah destroyed people that were much greater than them. So don't worry, Allah Azza wa Jal will take control of Quraysh. So in other words, this ayah comes as an encouragement to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed people that were much, much stronger than them. So Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with them accordingly, just the time hasn't come yet. And the other thing this ayah contains is a threat to the disbelievers, obviously. Meaning, watch your position and watch what you do towards the Messenger and the believers. I destroyed people that were much stronger than you, and you know their ruins, and you see their dwellings, and you know their story very well. So watch out. So it has a threat in it. Now, interestingly, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the previous surah, right, I'll keep mentioning the previous surah because there's a great link between these two surah. Allah says in the previous surah, He commands His Messenger, He says to him, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. He tells him, remind others, just remind the people, you are nothing but a reminder. And now in this surah, what we find interestingly is that Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when He says to him, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. So one place He tells him, remind the people. Now in this surah, Allah is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his power, about his strength, that I'll deal with these people, don't worry about them, they won't go anywhere with this mockery that they do against you and this oppression they do against the believers. Also, the wording is very interesting. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. It's a question. It's very interesting. Why? Because this is the last time the mention of Ad will happen in the Qur'an. You will not find Ad after this surah. There's only a few more surah and the Qur'an will finish. And so this is the last time Allah mentions Ad and nothing after it. And Ad has been mentioned a lot times before, many times before. So it's like at the end, you know what a teacher does when he's been teaching the whole year, right at the end of the year, right at the end of semester, he'll say to his students, you know, didn't you see, haven't I already told you so much about this already? Haven't you already learned this? Haven't you seen what I've been explaining all this time? This is how the teacher will conclude his class at the end of the semester or at the end of the year, just by a question. And you know, did you see all this that we took? That's what will be in the exam, for example. And that's it, there won't be a mention of it anymore. So this is, subhanAllah, how Allah Azza wa Jal concludes the mention of Ad by this question, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't you see how I dealt with this nation Ad? In other words, enough is mentioned before, and now you get the story, you understand it. Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with those that oppress you, and will deal with Quraysh and anyone that follows their path until the day of judgment. So أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَاد. Also, we find that in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرْ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us, whoever turns away in disbelief, in other words, I came to you, I recited the message unto you, and you sort of weren't interested, so you turned away in disbelief. إِلَّا مَنْ تَوَلَّى, anyone who turns away in disbelief, وَكَفَرْ, and he disbelieves in the message, فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرِ. Allah will punish him severely, the biggest punishment on the day of judgment. So don't only think about how he will destroy them. Don't think about, you know, in the previous surah, you're left to think about how is Allah going to execute the biggest punishment on these people that turn away in disbelief. Rather, you have an example in this surah. Here's how He already destroyed people. So don't wait for the future. to see how his punishment will manifest, look into the past and see how he already punished people. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. And Ad, by the way, is the third generation after Nuh alayhi salam. And they were people from the Yemen. And the messenger and the prophet that was sent to them is Hud alayhi salam. And of course, we said that their famous statement was, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةِ. That for Ad, they caused arrogance. They were arrogant in the land, in the earth. And they used to run around saying this statement, who is stronger than us? You know, in other words, who'll take us on? You know, we're number one in this land. No one would ever dare to approach them. They belied the Prophet Hud alayhi salam, and they rejected his message. And they were arrogant, and Allah Azza wa Jal turned them into news. And he made them a lesson for people to come after them. That's why their mention will be in this surah. And the people, when they passed by their ruins, they were scared, right? You see these huge buildings. And where are the people? What happened? No one could defend himself. They'd get scared when they see these buildings. Ad, this tribe, they, of course, we said they lived in Yemen. Now, think of it like this. Mecca is here, and Yemen is right down here. So it's almost, you can say, south of Mecca. That's where Yemen is. And when they lived in Mecca, when they lived in Yemen, they lived in places known as Al-Ahqaf. Al-Ahqaf are sand dunes. That's where they lived, sand dunes. And these people, Ad, they have never experienced any violent or strong winds. They don't know nothing about winds, right? They just lived there. And when the day of the punishment came upon them, that Allah is now going to destroy them, the wind, it picked up from a very far distance, and they saw blackness in the sky and clouds building and a wind building. And so they sat down and they said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. They've never seen a strong wind before. So they said, this is rain coming to us. It's a mercy coming to us. Whereas Allah Azza wa Jal says, رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That was the wind that carried the severe punishment. So when it got to them, it destroyed them. It was just a wind that destroyed them. It was a very violent, strong wind. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. They were perished, they were destroyed with a rih. A rih in Arabic is a violent wind as opposed to riyah. Riyah is a merciful wind. But rih in the singular form, it's a punishment, a wind of punishment. Rih sar sarin, very cold. This wind that came, it was very, very cold. Atiyah, it covered them all. And that's how they were destroyed. And this wind continued for 7 layalin, 7 nights, wa thamaniyata ayyam, and 8 days. A very cold, strong wind that just kept blowing on them for 7 nights and 8 days. And at the end of it, Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. They were like the trunk of a palm tree. See the trunk of the palm tree? When it falls, doesn't move. Right, it does. It's lifeless. It just doesn't move. That's how they were. They were just left on this earth. No one moved to them. No one came near them. No one approached them. Allah Azza wa Jal dealt with them accordingly, and they were eradicated from the face of this earth. All of them, nothing remained from them. And so this is Allah Azza wa Jal's punishment upon them. And this is why he mentions at the end of that story of how he punished them. He says that the wind, تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. It destroyed everything in its path by the will of Allah. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. After the wind was done and the punishment was done, all you can see was their ruins, their houses. Where are they? وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ where they are. Allah took them. That was their punishment and that was the end of them. So this is أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِرَمْ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. إِرَمْ, some of the ulama say that Ad and Iram are two names for the same nation of Ad. It's not a difference between Iram and Ad. And the word Iram, some also say, that they are the forefathers of Ad. So in other words, you have Ad, and who was their forefathers? Elam. And some also said that Elam are the forefathers of Ad and Thamud. But in any case, Elam is just another name for the nation of Ad. Now Elam, literally what does it mean? It means to make markings on stone, to make markings etched stone. And also, Elam comes from the word Ramman or Ramin, which means to turn into rubble, make something turn into rubble. That's Ramin, Elam. For subhanAllah, the name that was given to them was their punishment. That's eventually what they turned to, was into rubble. So their name is Elam, and their punishment was that Allah made them Ramim, made them turn into this rubble. Iram Adhat al-Imad, Allah says. Iram Adhat al-Imad. That Iram were the possessors of pillars. That al-Imad means the possessors of pillars. So what does that mean? In other words, they possessed bodies and they possessed strength like pillars. You know, when you go into a building, what is the strongest part of a building? It's pillars. So when Allah says that Irama Dhat al-Imad, He describes them as saying they were the possessors of pillars. In other words, He's telling us they possessed such might and strength on their body that it was almost the strength of a pillar. And you know the strength of a pillar and what it is. Also, Irama Dhat al-Imad can also refer to the large pillars and constructions that they would make. Because they were known for this. They were known for their large constructions, so much so that Allah called them Dhat al-Imad. They were known, the possessors of pillars. In other words, in the city, they were known to build the most powerful and strong of construction that no one was able to compete with. Irama Dhat al-Imad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad. The likes of which had never been created in all of the cities. So these people are something that is abnormal. No one had ever seen people like this. They would create things. Allah said, لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. The likeness of which has never ever been created in the city. And Allah says, فِي الْبِلَادِ, in the city. Now the word city, bilad, has many other words in the Arabic language. You can say Medina, Qarya. But Allah chose the word Bilad. What does Bilad teach us? Bilad basically means a city that is ready to defend its borders. A city that its borders have been defined and it's in major civilization. So already the fact that Allah says that their country is described as Bilad, their town is described as Bilad, we already get a good idea of how civilized and how advanced this city was. No one would ever compete to this city or even challenge to build something like it. Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions Thamud. He mentions Thamud. But before I share this ayah, I want to answer the question of why does Allah Azza wa Jal use the example of Ad and Thamud? Why does He use their example for Quraysh? You know, Shawkani rahimahullah, he mentions that the affairs and the news of Ad and Thamud were very famous for the Arabs because their homes were adjacent to the Arabs' homes. I told you, think of this. Mecca is here. Underneath it is what? Yemen. Yemen was Ad. Above Mecca is Tabuk area, which is the Sham as well, above this and Urdun and Jordan and so on. And Tabuk area, right, north of Mecca, this is where Thamud were. This is where Thamud lived. So in other words, Mecca is here, Ad is here, Quraysh is here, Ad is here, and Thamud is above them. And the Arabs, they would travel every summer and every winter. إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. In الشِّتَاء, in winter, they would travel to Yemen. Of course, this was for travel, for trade purposes. So every time they traveled to Yemen, who would they pass by? Ad. And every time they would travel in summertime to go to Sham also for trade purposes, رحلة الشتاء والصيف, they would pass by Tabuk. In other words, they would pass by the ruins of Thamud. So the affairs and the news of Ad and Thamud, especially for the Arabs, was known. No one was heedless about it, they all knew about it. So this is why their example is mentioned, because it's much more relevant to them than all the other nations that Allah perished. So this is why their mention would come, and this is why a lot of the reminder would come about them in the Quran, since the Arabs had passed by these ruins throughout their journey, so they would always see them. Whereas some other prophets were at a disadvantage because their people did not see the remnants, or they did not see the ruins of nations which had already been destroyed. So Quraysh, they couldn't say, we've never seen anything like that, you know. They couldn't say that because they would pass by the ruins and they'd see this. And they would see how Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed these nations. So it always serves as a reminder, reminds them that Allah Azza wa Jal's punishment is a reality. It's serious. Now there's only one more, which will be on the Day of Judgment. And so also what we're going to find in a few ayat, that there will be the mention of Fir'aun. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And the question is, why does Allah mention Fir'aun in this discourse? Because Fir'aun, he was a person and his nation were people that were mentioned by the people of the book a lot. And since they were mentioned by the people of the book a lot, Quraysh already knew about the story of Musa and about the story of Fir'aun. So this is why these three stories are highlighted in this surah, because they are the most famous of destroyed nations among the Arab people. Now also we're going to mention why Allah Azza wa Jal, he highlights on the fact of building and construction. Now just one second. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says now, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. So now he tells us about Thamud. And when he says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ, in other words, أَلَمْ تَرَى, what happened to Thamud as well? So in other words, how we translate this is, didn't you also see the case of Thamud? Now Thamud, of course, they are as well a nation that rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet that was sent to them was Salih alayhi salam, and the miraculous sign was the camel, the she camel that they were ordered not to slaughter, and eventually they slaughtered it. So وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says about Thamud, didn't you also see the case of Thamud? What was highlighted about them? Jabu Sakhra Bilwad. Jabu means to, it comes from Jaba, which means to crack open or drill a hole into rock. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Jabu Sakhra Bilwad. As-Sakhr in the Arabic language is rocky mountains. You know how mountains, there are many types of mountains. So you have rocky mountains, mountains that are just full of stone and rock, that's all it is. You have mountains that are dirt basically, mountains, and then there's grass on them and so on, but you can shovel them, right? There are snowy mountains that's made of snow, there's sand dunes, these are made of sand. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the most toughest of mountains, that is As-Sakhr. As-Sakhr is the rocky mountains. What did Thamud do with these? He doesn't say Nahatu. Nahatu means to scrape, to engrave, to etch into a rock. You know, sometimes people get stone, rock, metal, whatever it is, and they begin to etch into it. A name or whatever it is, some drawing, some art. That's Nahat. Allah Azza wa Jal, he doesn't only say that Thamud did Nahat to rocky mountains, they did something called Jabu. And I said Jabu is to crack open, to drill a hole into something. So for example, you know, this, the collar and the space that's inside is called a Jaib in Arabic. Why? Because it opens a hole into the clothing. Opens a wide open hole into the clothing. That's Jabu. And also, you know, the Al-Jaiba, Jaib, the pocket, because it has an opening. So Jabu means that they made openings, they made huge wide holes into the Rocky Mountains. Not only they etched it, what kind of strength and power is this? Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us of people that are even stronger than Ad, right? And we're going to get to one more nation who was stronger than all both of them. But for now he's saying, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And their dwellings up until this day are witnessed. And they're in Tabuk. And they're known as Mada'in Salih. You go there, you'll see the stone, the rocky mountains, and how they're open from inside. And you ask, how did this happen? With what kind of machinery did this happen? There was no machinery used. These are people that dug this with their own hands. And they opened and cracked the stone mountains, the stone with their own bare hands. This is the such power that then Allah Azza wa Jal gave them. No drills, no machinery, no hydraulics, you know, to give the pressure. Just manpower. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. You know, what is also even more interesting is that Allah Azza wa Jal, He describes them somewhere else in Surah Al-Shu'ara. He says, وَكَانُوا يَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ. They used to do nahat of the jibal. Nahat is to carefully engrave artwork. You know, what do they call it in English? Finis, is it?
Sculpting.
Yeah, it's a type of artwork that you do on outside, right? So you sort of the final touches of the stone, of the rock, the final touches. That's where you start scraping it and you smoothen it down. You etch in your artwork and so on. They used to do this, but Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Farihin," in their free time. As though there was their free time, and how they used to spend their time, they used to etch, and they used to make artwork in stone. Using, no, of course, tools, but this is with their hands, with their bare hands. This was in their free time, so in other words, what kind of strength and might did these people possess? There was no use of doing that, but they did it. And up until this day, their artwork is apparent. We'll see it if you were to ever go to Saudi Arabia in Tabuk, and there's actually pictures of it online. Type in Mada'in Salih or the dwellings of Salih, and you'll find the remnants, these remains, these buildings. That's exactly where Allah's punishment came down. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal's curse is still upon them and is still upon those areas. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade from walking by these places and sitting down. He said, except that you are there crying in terms of this place serving as a reminder for you. Otherwise, if you pass by them, then run. Run, because this is where Allah's punishment came down. This is where Allah's curse remains upon these people. And وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. How was Thamud destroyed? Of course, also they were destroyed by a violent hurricane that Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them. Why were they destroyed? Because of the act of one silly man among them. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. They were destroyed because of one person that rebelled. And this is the guy that eventually ended up killing or slaughtering this camel. And when he did this, 3 days, they were promised 3 days. Enjoy what you have of 3 days in your dwellings. The punishment is on its way. The punishment came. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. That the rajfa, which is sort of an earthquake with wind and so on, and hurricane, it all came upon them, it destroyed them, and they remained lifeless in their dwellings, and they weren't able to move, and that's how they died. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal ended them. So this is Thamud and what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. Why is he saying it here? In other words, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reflect also upon the story of Thamud. Look at this type of power they had. Look at the constructions they did. And still, how did Allah deal with them? Is because Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them, and this is how He dealt with them. That He destroyed them and eradicated them and their generation from the face of this earth. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And now Allah Azza wa Jal says, finally He concludes these nations, وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. Right, this is almost like now the climax. Speaking about Fir'aun now. Fir'aun Dhil Awtad, the possessor of pegs. You know pegs, a tent? When you pitch a tent, what do you put on the sides? They're known as pegs. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, Wa Fir'aun, the possessor of pegs. Now that has three meanings. One of its meanings is that these pegs, of course we said pegs is what keeps tents stable. So when Allah said, Fir'aun, the possessor of pegs, it referred to the huge army that Fir'aun had under his authority. Because, you know, armies, when they move from one place to another, what do? They pitch tents and they sleep in these tents. So now, when you have like an aerial bird's eye view, you'll just see these camps and these tents flooded everywhere. And they're pegged from their sides, and inside of them is the army of Fir'aun. So when Allah said, Wa Fir'aun adhil awtad, and Fir'aun the possessor of pegs, in other words, Fir'aun, the huge army he had, he was known for his massive, massive army. That's how they would travel around. Also, Dhil Awtad means he was famous for his way of torture. It is known that Fir'aun, this is how he used to torture the people. He'd crucify them and he'd peg their limbs into the wood, right? لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He used to peg them into the tree, into the trunks of the palm trees. And he used to crucify them, and he used to use the pegs to bring in their limbs inside of this tree and nail their limbs into the tree using these pegs, and then he'd punish them. Also narrated, this is how he punished his wife, Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Allah says, Wa Fir'auna dhil awtad. In other words, Allah is highlighting the power Fir'aun had and the means of punishment and torture he executed upon his people, and he was known for this. So he's known for his massive armies and he's known for his cruel ways of torture and punishment. And the last meaning of Dhil Awtad is that in Egyptian history, the pharaohs, they prided themselves over construction. Right, so you'd always see in the hieroglyphics of the pharaohs, you'll find pictures of people carrying tools, either a drill or a hammer or something. But because they prided themselves over construction, like even until those days and even until this day, the pyramids they have and the Sphinx and so on, that's something they're prided for because it got to do with construction. So also Fir'aun, Dhil Awtad, Ash-Shanqiti rahimahullah, he says that these are the pyramids. Fir'aun, the possessor of strength and might, so much so that it manifested in the pyramids. Now the ulama said that Allah mentioned them in these order because it went from one strong nation to a stronger to an ever stronger. So Ad was strong. But then Thamud was stronger than Ad. Because Thamud would drill into the stone, would make openings into the stone and make a house. Fir'aun, how is he powerful or much powerful than Thamud? Think of it. Think of the pyramids. The pyramid is made of what? It's made of stone, right? And if you've ever gone to Egypt and see the pyramids, they're not very small stones like what we have of bricks today. These are really huge stones. So what proves that they were more powerful than Thamud is that they had to break the stone and bring it from a far distance to where the pyramids are right now. You go to Egypt, around the pyramids, nowhere in several kilometers around the pyramids is there any mountains or rocky mountains. There is none. So where did they get the stone for these pyramids? In other words, they had to travel over a very far place. They had to break the stone, crack the stone, and then they had to carry it. Carry what? You see how huge the stone is? They had to carry that huge boulder and they had to bring it to where the pyramid is right now, and then they had to lay it and then they had to build on top of it one another until they made these huge pyramids. So that in itself refers and indicates to that Fir'aun was the most powerful of all. Now, there's the very important thing to focus on now. All of these nations that Allah mentioned, they were known for one thing. What is it? construction. That al-imad for Fu'ad, that al-imad, the possessors of pillars. In other words, they are huge pillars and strong construction. Thamud, jabu sakhra bilwad, right? As we said, make openings in stone and in rocky mountains. That's construction. And Fir'aun, dhil awtad, right? Referring to construction, pyramids and so on. Why is it important for the Arabs to hear this? Why is it important for the Arabs to hear about construction? Anyone know why? This will teach you why this came here. Because the Arabs were not builders at all. They weren't known for any buildings. They weren't known for any construction. So Allah has destroyed these people who were much, much more powerful in construction, living in firm, strong buildings. So the Arab who only built mud houses shouldn't feel secure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. This is how Allah azza wa jalla is bringing down the arrogance of Quraysh, and this is how He's warning them, and this is how He's threatening them. All these other nations before you, you know what kind of construction they had, you're nowhere near it. And you see it every time you travel up and down. You see it with your own eyes. And nowhere near it you have. And with that Allah punished them and destroyed them. So who are you to remain arrogant and remain in denial of the message and mock and swear and accuse and oppress the believers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Don't you know that Allah Azza wa Jal will take you and destroy you the same way He took them and destroyed them? But it's only a matter of time. This is all it is. So, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. So this, in other words, it should humble Quraysh and bring them down to exactly where they deserve, and exactly bring them down to their place and where they belong in terms of how they respond and react with the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now He's answered the question of how He destroyed them. Because He's the most powerful, therefore He dealt with them. Now He answers why He destroyed them. So He says, الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Those were the ones who had rebelled in the bilad, in the city. They are those who rebelled in the city. Now, the word طَغَوْا comes from the word طَغَى. طَغَى means to rebel, go against. But you know, it is one thing to break the law out of desperation, and then you feel sorry about it, and you know, you feel very sorry that you broke the law. It's another thing to break the law and rebel against the authorities and not care about it and make a fun and make a mockery and a laughter of it. It's two different ways of how to break a law. So Taghaw is referring to the second one. Breaking the law, going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and being happy about it and making a mockery and a laugh about it. And you know, just like Thamud, they killed that camel, but they didn't regret killing it. And they made a mockery after it, and they laughed after it as well. So this is al-tughyan. So Allah is saying, why did I destroy them? Because الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. This is why. They caused rebellion in this earth, in this land that they, Allah Azza wa Jal, placed them in. Therefore, their time came, and this is why they were destroyed, because of their rebellion against the prophets. They did not listen to the prophet, they did not respect the prophet, and above all this, they made mockery of the prophet, they laughed against the message and the prophet. Therefore, this is why Allah destroyed them. Which pretty much teaches us a big deal, teaches us a big lesson, that when a law is broken, there is something that is even worse than that of a crime, and that is to be happy with this rebellion you're engaged in. Breaking the law, rebelling is one thing. Being happy about what you're doing is a totally another thing. That is tughyan in itself. So tughyan basically is to cross the limit that Allah has defined for you. You're limited. You have a border around you. Do not do this, don't do this, follow that. The moment you cross this border, that's tughyan. And the moment you feel happy about it and it opens doors to other sins, That is طغيان in itself. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them. So now, them rebelling against Allah's command, what did that result in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. فَأَكْثَرُوا, the fa means as a result of their طغيان. Because they rebelled against the messengers, what happened is that أَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, they increased in corruption. They increased in corruption. So injustice became apparent in the city. Racism, abuse, homelessness, and all these types of corruption began to manifest in the city. You see, they had beautiful buildings, right? Thamud, Ad, Fir'aun, they had very nice buildings. They had a beautiful view. Everything might be beautiful, but when you rebel against Allah's command, then the situation of the city will become corrupt. Will become corrupt. The city itself will become corrupt. And this is not only in that time, this also manifests in nowadays. You know, go to cities around the world that have rebelled Allah's command, that do not choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, and see what happens. The buildings, the architecture, the construction might be awesome. But how much corruption is happening in the city? How much injustice do you see? How much racism do you see? How much abuse do you see? You know, how much homelessness do you see? Even we're speaking about advanced countries, there is homelessness. What is this a result of? A result of طغيان. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ, they rebelled against Allah's command. What did Allah result? What did He give them? فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. After that, corruption began to manifest in the city. So this is it's an equal equation. And you know, subhanAllah, in the previous surah, Allah gave us two negative qualities as well. إِلَّا مَن تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرْ. Turn away and you disbelieve. You turn away and you disbelieve, that's a result of طَغَى and ifsad. When you turn away in disbelief, that is طُغْيَان. That in itself is طُغْيَان. So in other words, this surah came to describe and to explain to you, what does it mean to turn away in disbelief? That means that you rebelled against Allah's command. What does it mean that you rebel against Allah's command? That means where you live, in the city you live in, فيها, the city you live in, corruption is going to manifest. And what you see around you is this corruption that Allah is speaking about, of people that rebelled against His command. We'll conclude with this ayah. This is such a beautiful ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal concludes with. He says, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. A very, very eloquent, awesome ayah. In this surah, in the whole juz', very eloquent. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. So your Lord poured upon them different kinds of severe torture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about those nations, Ad, Thamud, and Fir'aun. And in conclusion of this passage, He's saying that He drenched upon them, He poured upon them salt azab. Salt is a whip of punishment. They're literally translating it. What does that mean now? Fasabba. The word fasabba, it's used to, yani, it describes you got a bucket of water and you just poured it. You drenched it on someone. That is a sab. When that happens, it comes down quick, it flows down quick, and it's intense. So when Allah uses this word for sabba, it indicates to the intensity and to the continuous torture that He sent upon them. Right? It indicates to the intense and continuous torture that was sent upon them. Also, the word sabba, this verb sabba, it's always referred to water. Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba. Also, what it could indicate is that Allah used the word sabba, that He drenched upon them a punishment. It doesn't literally mean that Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent water upon them and He destroyed them as a means of a flood or something. But it's the use of the word which indicates to something intense and continuous. Also, the word for sabba, it can also indicate to that Allah Azza wa Jal cleansed the earth's surface from them. Because what does water do that comes from the sky? It cleans the earth's surface. So when Allah used this word, there's a reference to that Allah cleaned the earth from them. So he used the word sabba, the verb, that is attached to something not to do with water, to give the indication that he cleaned the earth's surface from them. So he used sabba, which means heavy rain that comes, pours down, and he cleans the earth's surface. Then he said, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ, Allah drenched upon them. In other words, only upon them, not upon the others that remained in belief of the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ, your Lord drenched upon them a whip of punishment. See, he said, your Lord. He didn't say Allah sent upon them a punishment. He didn't say Allah, he said your Lord. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I'm on your side. Don't think that you are by yourself. So there's closeness when Allah tells his Messenger, your Lord drenched upon them a whip of punishment, as opposed to saying Allah drenched upon them a whip of punishment or a punishment. There's a bit of distance in this. But to say your Lord, there's closeness. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he is on your side. Don't think you're by yourself. Your very own Lord, he's the one that sent this upon them. So فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. Salt, in the Arabic language, we said it means a whip. Why a whip is mentioned? You know, as a, يعني, from all the ways of punishment, you can shoot someone, you can hit someone with the sword, you can grab a stick and hit someone, you can poke someone with a knife. There's so many ways of torturing people. The most painful way of torturing someone is by whipping you. Why? Because when you whip someone, it is hitting onto the skin, and you hit it again and you hit it again, and it hasn't gone through the skin yet. So still the nerves are intact and he's feeling everything. Once the skin is ripped and you're inside, pretty much you might not feel anything. But the salt, the whip, it is the most painful of punishment. So when Allah uses this word salta, he is alluding to that he punished them with the worst type of punishment. And you know, salt, when you think of whip and a punishment with a whip, you know it's not one. You know it's going to be many. There's tikrar involved. It's continuous, one after the other. So this is what happened to him. A continuous punishment of Allah happened. And this is why the word salt is used. So not literally Allah whipped them, but he used this word salt to indicate to that they received, and he said salt. Salt is the singular, it's mufrad, to teach you that this was just one whip. There's nothing else, it was just one. And it was intense punishment, and look what it did to them. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. And what's very interesting is that the ulama, they actually connect it to وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. He said, الشَّفْعِ is even, الْوَتْرِ is odd. The punishment they received in this life is one. That's odd. On the day of judgment, they will receive another punishment that makes it two, that makes it even. So in other words, in الشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, there's already a guarantee that these people will receive another punishment so as to make their punishment even. They received one here, that's one. One is an odd number. So there has to be another punishment in order for it to become even. That is the punishment on the Day of Judgment. Also, what is very, very beautiful is that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the word صَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. What does stop? This verb is linked to what? What did we say? It's linked to water. From these three nations, which of the nations was mentioned last? Fir'aun. How was Fir'aun destroyed? Literally, he drowned and Allah Azza wa Jal drenched upon them water. So subhanAllah, this word is very broad in its meaning. And it carried this meaning of how Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them all in the most intense and continuous of punishments. And it came right at the end in connection to Fir'aun, and this is how Fir'aun was destroyed. Then Allah Azza wa Jal concludes the passage, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. There is no doubt that your Lord is waiting in ambush. InshaAllah ta'ala, we'll describe and we'll explain this in the next week, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. This is what we have for this lesson. So inshaAllah ta'ala, before we conclude, is there any questions? in regards or in relations to the lesson now?
I missed when you said Allah mentioned two negative qualities.
All right, in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned two negative qualities, attitudes. He says, "Illa man tawalla wa kafar." Anyone or whoever turns away in disbelief and then finally disbelieves. He turns away and disbelieves. We said that the ayah in Surah Al-Fajr, in where Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Taghaw fil bilad," is an explanation of man tawalla wa kafar. Those that turn away and then disbelieve, what do they end up doing? They end up doing taghaw fil bilad. They end up rebelling in the earth. Right? And this rebellion in the earth, what does it result in? فَأَكْفَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. It results in an increase of corruption in the land. So that's the continuous sequence of these four words. Now, sorry? Now, a balad, of course, we said that it's a land that is defined by borders. It's ready to defend itself. Its major civilization occurs in a bilad. A Medina is a city that is far less civilized than a balad. So Medina is just like the city that people join in and they just find some sort of well in, and then they just make homes around it. It wasn't ever intended for people to reside in long term. Rather, it's just temporary, and then we'll move on to another Medina, and we'll move on to another Medina like that. But the balad is, that's it. We're sitting here, we're established, and this is it. And this is why you'll see Mecca and Medina in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The most loved bilad to Allah is Mecca. Why? Because that's it. That's a place where there's no more moving and coming. People are going to sit there. People are going to reside there. There's going to be major civilization there. And this is a place, a town to reside in forever. So it became given this name, Al-Bilad. And it's known like this, لَا أُقْسِمُ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. Right? This is the other surah that will come after. So there is a mention of Bilad here, and in the surah after Surah Al-Fajr is Surah Al-Balad, right? And there's a major connection between the two surahs. When we get there, inshallah ta'ala, we'll explain that. Now, any other question? Tawbah.
You said that Fir'aun, Fasabba, referring to him, can also be referred to Thamud and Ad, the hurricane,
Musa came. Right? Yes, for sure. We said Fasabba, it's being placed here as a verb because it indicates to the intense punishment. But sabba literally means to drench upon someone water, or to pour upon something someone water. That literally only happened with Fir'aun. Literally only happened with Fir'aun. And metaphorically it happened with the other two. In terms of that when rain comes down, it's continuous, yeah? When that violent wind came upon Ad and Thamud, especially in Ad, it was continuous for 7 days and for 7 nights and 8 days. It was continuous. So the use of the word for sabba is to just take that quality from that word, which is something continually happening and it's intense. Right? So this is why it was used. In the first two cases, it's metaphorically. And in the last case of Fir'aun, it's literally. It did happen. He was drenched. Upon him was drenched water, and that's, he drowned eventually. That's how he died. Allahu a'lam. Now, sorry, I didn't. Yes, Jazakallah khair. I didn't get, or I skipped upon this word bilwad. وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He spoke about Thamud, He said they're the ones that drilled holes, and they basically cracked open stone boulders, rocky mountains, bilwad. In the valleys. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us that these people are also civilized, because a valley, what collects in a valley? Water. Water collects in a valley. So these people, they're going to now crack and drill holes into stone so they can live there. If there is no water around you, you'd be stupid to build a house. How are you going to get water? How are you going to live? So before any nation settles and resides in a place, they make sure there's water. If there's no water, they move on to somewhere else. When you find water, that's where you'll find people start building houses. So when Allah mentions Bilwad, He's teaching us that these people were, they were intelligent as well. They found a valley, they found water. Now let's build permanent residency here. Let's build permanent houses. This was some of the benefit of Bilwad. Allah is teaching us about the intelligence. But really it's irony, because that's intelligence. What did this intelligence get here in terms of you believing in your Prophet and the message he came with? Absolutely nothing. So that intelligence was put to waste when it wasn't used in where it was supposed to used in terms of following the Messenger alayhi salam and obeying his command and following his path until they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.